Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Catch a Wave with the Surfin' Cowgirl, only on LA Talk Radio.
Howdy, 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 y'all. Welcome to Catch a Wave. It's Wish on Wednesday. I got my old bestie Kim in the house. And today, our Wish on Wednesday is one of our favorites. I am doing charitable contribution to the AQHA, the American Quarter Horse. And the AQHA is a little something that Kim's familiar with. Her late great...
Might be.
Her late great grandfather, Walter Merrick of Sayre, Oklahoma, was inducted into the American Quarter Horse Hall of Fame in 1993. I'm going to tell a little bit about what our contributions go to in a minute for research, scholarships, and therapy, but I'm just going to take a minute. And we're going to shout out and celebrate the legacy of Donna's daddy, Walter Merrick. And I'm quoting him. He says here in his biography at the American Quarter Horse Association, Hall of Famers website, "We raise the horses we run, and we run the horses we race," says Walter Merrick of Sayre, Oklahoma, horseman who started racing quarter horses in the 1930s. His 14 ranch produced some of the top quarter running horses of all time. Merrick moved from Colorado to Oklahoma in 1928 and signed on to the Figure 2 Ranch as a bronc buster. Along with the move, the cowboy vowed to someday have good horses. Let me just say, I always say, always ride a good horse. That's what I say. There's too many good horses to not out there to not ride a good one. But Walter, as the owner of the Figure 2, gave his Depression era, Walter working at the Figure 2 Ranch was given by the owner in this Depression era, they were given cattle sometimes to make up for low wages. When Walter Merrick owned a herd of 14, he branded the cattle with the number 14 and eventually formed his 14 Ranch. In 1936, Merrick purchased Midnight Jr. by Midnight by Peter McHugh, and the little stallion went on to lay the foundation for Merrick's breeding program. A few years later, Merrick added thoroughbred mare Lena Valente to his broodmare band. The mare ran 6 furlongs like a quarter horse type and was considered a foundation mare for the Merrick family. In 1951, Merrick persuaded Sid Vail, owner of the thoroughbred stallion Three Bars, to lease his stallion. Merrick bred the thoroughbred to his quarter horse mares and to Lena Valente. The cross between Three Bars and Lena Valente produced Lena's Bar, who raced successfully against quarter horses as a thoroughbred. Lena's Bar was bred to Jet Deck, and the cross produced a AAAT stakes winner and AQH champion, Jet Smooth. Merrick bred the mare back to Jet Deck and got Easy Jet, winner of the 1969 All-American Futurity. Okay, let me just stop right here and say, folks, first of all, I love that he won the All-American the year I was born, 1969. Second of all, if you are from that area, you know that when you win the All-American, it is literally like winning the Kentucky Derby. If you can just qualify at the All-American, you will be a contender for one of the Triple Crown races. But here, your granddad wins it in 1969. With Easy Jet, who I'm just such, I've owned Jet Smooth horses, I've owned Three Bars horses, and so we're just talking about my favorite things right here. The sorrel colt of Merrick's reputation took him to the top of the breeding industry. Merrick became an AQHA director in 1952 and served on the show and contest and racing committees. In 81, the association named Merrick an honorary vice president. Merrick was inducted into the American Quarter Horse Hall of Fame, in 1993, and he left this world in 2006 at the age of 94 as an American quarter horse breeding and racing legend. Just something, a little word I wanted to shout out. I was looking through my charity choices, wanted to donate to the research, the scholarships, and the therapy programs at AQHA. I looked up your granddad's biography. I think it is so wonderful that when we were kids, we grew up and we were so close to the forest, we didn't even see the trees. It was just everyday Sunday. Was it not, Kim?
Yeah. Yeah.
Talk a little bit about it.
Absolutely.
You were young.
First, I have to say, you're a little toot because you didn't tell me anything about this.
I wasn't going to.
And so
I wasn't going to because
I'm a little surprised.
Well, and I wanted to shock you. I wanted to have that shock factor. I love that beginner's mind and your organic reaction. But I did decide, okay, my Wish on Wednesday charitable contribution is to AQHA. And then I just decided to look up your granddad's biography, and it was fabulous. And it goes into favorite things. I love that. But talk a little bit about, you know, the 14 Merrick Ranch. Growing up, you're the youngest of five children, and y'all are kind of spread out. So you were pretty young when your mother and grandmother were dragging y'all into the winner's circles pictures.
But oh yeah,
it was fun though.
Yeah, I mean, since I can remember, and you know, long before I can remember, we moved to Dallas, Texas, in 1975. And Easy Date had just won the All-American in 1974. And so that's really kind of when I got to start going to horse race stuff, because we had lived up in St. Louis and we're kind of out of the picture. So in 1975, we kind of got back into the family business per se and got to be around the horses more. Now, again, I say this all the time, and I'm sure people don't believe me, but my granddad was just my granddad.
Right.
Just like your grandpa was your grandpa.
Everyday Sunday.
I didn't think anything about it.
Yeah.
I thought everybody lived the way I lived because I didn't know any different.
Right.
And so I obviously took it for granted because I didn't know anybody else's life was different than mine.
Right.
But I started going to the track all the time during the summer with my grandpa. And we were just around great horses and great people. And I just thought that was everybody else's life. Didn't know that everybody else didn't do the same thing that my family did, which was be around horses all the time. Now, there was some exceptional horses, no doubt, but he treated the average horse as good as he treated the exceptional horse.
Yeah.
He was a horseman.
Yes.
And he people brought their horses through his barn all the time because he was brilliant and gifted at being able to tell you what was wrong with your horse. People say, well, I don't know why his legs turning this way, his legs turning that way. He could diagnose a problem with a horse that nobody had ever even seen before. And we always said he forgot more about horses than most people ever knew.
Yeah.
And that was definitely him. And so that tied into his breeding farm because he knew what he was going to get when he bred X to Y.
Mm-hmm.
And it was going to be an exceptional racer. Now, many people have said, to my mom included, oh, Granddad got really lucky when he got EasyJet. And Mom just laughed. She goes, there was no luck. This horse had been planned for 10 years.
Yes.
He knew he had to breed this horse to that horse and get this. And then he had to go over here and breed this other horse to this and get that. And then breed the two of them together, and he was going to get what he wanted. Because he knew if he could get some of this over here and that over there. It's kind of like making a pot of stew.
You need some meat.
You need your bay. You need your vegetables.
Yeah.
You know, he knew how to get that to all the different horses. And he bred brilliant horses. Because he knew what he was going to get, because he understood genetics like nobody else did.
Yeah, it was a God gift.
Highly, highly, highly criticized for breeding a thoroughbred to a quarter horse. He was the first to do it.
Yeah.
Now it's commonplace.
Yeah.
It is the industry standard that he was the first. And he was nearly kicked out of the American Quarter Horse Association for it.
Yeah.
Because they thought he was going to ruin the breed. They couldn't see past right in front of their face.
Right. And so
now they honor him for it.
Right. So don't be afraid.
A lot of praise for American Quarter Horse to be able to look past that and look down the road and see what it's done for the breed.
And when people are ahead of their time. And today, one of our topics is next step. You know, when you're challenged, when you're frustrated, when you're beat down, what's your next step? And we're always encouraging. And today I just was like, you know, I thought about just driving in today, the Word of God, and it says, encourage one another, and love thy neighbor as thyself.
Really simple.
Really simple. And love thy neighbor as thyself. And I think what love thy neighbor as thyself means is like, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And it's just encourage one another. And so here we're always about our POP, our place of peace, and, you know, our power of the positivity, the power of the pop line. And so, you know, today we're going to go into that. But let me first go back to the American Quarter Horse and say, you know, let's talk a little bit about the foundation and what your contribution does. And so there are many dreams of children who connect with horses, and we realize together and we come together to make a difference. And the American Quarter Horse Foundation connects horses and people through charitable giving in order to develop and support programs and initiatives that preserve our horses' legacy and further the overall well-being of the American Quarter Horse and the people who comprise the American Quarter Horse family. So there's several ways to give. You can go online, you can go monthly, but you know, it's like you can honor, there's an endowment fund. And so anyway, but please go, you can volunteer, but they've literally given over $7 million of funds to scholarships in the last few years, and they've done over $11 million of research. And a lot of times, you know, the stem cell research that has been done in the American Quarter Horse Association has had breakthrough for, you know, humanitarian stem cell research. So it's, and then I can't tell you the therapies and the connectivity for people who have limited mobility. They can get in the saddle and they can be free because maybe they are, you know, impaired physically, but in the saddle, they're free. And so that mind and body and spirit connection with their horse and the outdoor, and we all know what I say about, you know, the miracles and the timing, there's healing and movement and momentum. And so my favorite things are always going to be horses, movement, exercise, outdoor music. And I know you've got some great, powerful, positive words for us today. When we talk about when your back's against the wall and you're feeling like the odds are against you, what are you going to do to lift yourself up, to encourage your neighbor, to encourage everyone in your camp to take that next step? So tell us a little bit about what you came up with today for positive, powerful words, Kim.
Well, you know, we talked a little, we did a little pregame before the show, and we were talking about when we stepped up to that free throw line, and
in basketball practice,
we had to take that. Yeah, in basketball practice, we had to take that shot. Now, most people don't know, but we had to shoot 10 free throws in a row. We had to do, that was called a set. We had to do 10 sets.
Right.
So we had to shoot 100 free throws in a row to be able to leave practice.
Yes.
So every time you step
after
up
you're
to that,
exhausted.
You had to mentally.
Yes.
What's that?
After you're exhausted. We had to do it while we were exhausted. There was a reason for that.
Yeah.
We did it after practice, and we had to complete 10 in a row, 10 times, 10 sets, while we were exhausted, and it was a mental, physical,
challenge
to execute your goal when you're exhausted. Okay, I had to interrupt you and make that point, because it's like when you're exhausted in life, when you're spent, when you feel like you can't go on, how can you draw and focus to execute the next challenge or task in front of you? Okay, please go ahead.
Well, that was my point. That was my point, exactly, is we were being prepared for life in so many different ways on that basketball court. Now, March Madness is coming up, so of course, basketball's, you know, in front of me 24/7 now. And I reflect back on so many lessons that we learned on that court that we now apply to our lives. And that is one of the main ones. It was the most exhausting part of our practice is your legs are jelly. Your arms are jelly. And you got to sit there and shoot 100 free throws before you can go home. And you're tired. I mean, you're worse than tired. You're like dog tired. But that was life. That's what we deal with in life every day now,
mm-hmm.
is stepping up to that free throw line and sink in that free throw, because we have to.
I got
to go to bed.
Yeah, I got it.
That's what we do every day when we come home.
Yeah, I can't hold off anymore. I've like found these fabulous things. I got to read these three, and then I'll let you go back to yours. Girl, you are the sun. So stop giving away your warmth if they can't support your shine. Trust that you will find a place to rest along the way. Know God is working for you tonight. Heaven is holding conversations about you. Angels have been assigned to you. So rest and be at peace. I love that, don't you? Okay, what good ones did you come up with?
Okay, so more of, you know, along those lines.
Yeah.
I right now I'm in the depths of everything with my kids. So trying to raise them in these last couple years of school is exhausting as well. So I keep reminding them that this is just another stepping stone on to being adulting.
Yes.
So I tell my daughter, she remembered who she was and the game changed. She's fixing to enter into a new game because she's graduating. All she's ever known is go to school, get good grades, show up, get good grades, go home, study. You know, and now she's entering a different part of her game. And life is constantly shifting.
Yes.
Don't get too comfortable, because the game's going to shift and you have to be able to shift with it.
Extreme adaptability.
Yes. Yes. And you asked me, you know, what's one thing that you always say? And I was a Survivor watcher from the first. I don't watch it anymore, but I sure did when it first came out. And Survivor's motto was outwit, outplay, outlast.
I love it.
And that is life too. You have to play life sometimes. And sometimes it's fair, sometimes it's not fair. You know, you go to county fair, but life ain't fair.
Yeah.
And you just have to be willing to adapt and adjust to what life is going to bring to you. So that was one of the things that I wanted to bring up about my daughter, and you know that her life is fixing to change into a different game, and she's learning how to live in the corporate world. It's not easy. It's not fair. You know, sure, bosses hire their kids, and their kids get paid more than you sometimes. But do your job, and the cream's going to rise to the top, and they're going to see you do a good job. So that was another thing I wanted to bring up. Don't get hung up on what the guy next to you is getting.
Yeah, don't lose focus. Like, you know, move forward with blinders. Focus. You know,
yes,
run your race.
That's what I tell her. You run your race, Sierra. And back to my horse racing roots. You run your race. Don't worry about what the guy next to you is running. because you're going to beat him to the finish line if you run your race. Now, if you're worried about watching him, he doesn't care about you. He's not watching you, so why would you watch him? You run your race and see who gets the finish line first.
I love this.
I'm sure it'll be you.
Yeah, girl. Talking about your girl. Girls, it's got girls just want to have fun, and then they mark out have fun, and it says girls just want to be CEO. I love that. coffee in one hand That's and awesome. Confidence in the other. I am never beyond the reach of God's love. God loves me, and that's enough. So in his everlasting love, I am going to rest in the Lord and tackle the day tomorrow. I love that. Anything you learn from becomes more than a mistake. The alchemy of awareness brings about a change. We all stumble, we all wander, we all lose focus, we all have doubt and fear. As humans, we don't always know how to overcome these things, but we rise up, we don't give up, and we get back on our feet and we try again. I love that.
Absolutely.
I love to say fear is nothing but faith in reverse gear. Choose faith. You are favored by God. Never put the key to your happiness in someone else's pocket. Love that. How you show up in life is how you experience life. I love that. Your comeback is going to be epic. Relax and know that God is working on your behalf. Take a deep breath and watch God move. I'm coming for everything they said I could not have. I like that. Don't stress about things you cannot change. Change your mind to be in control of you and the tasks before that. Of course, everyone knows this one. You only fail when you stop trying. Don't give up. Your day will come. It's just a matter of time. And you know what I say? Catch a wave. The miracle's in the timing. Quitting is not an option. Decide to press ahead. Division has no place in your life. Cling to unity. Cling to wisdom. Cling to gaining new skill sets. Learning every day. These all empower you in a stance of firm foundation. What if your goal is in the midst of suffering? Isn't to shout it's finished, but what someone else's cry. Okay, I really messed this up. What if your goal is in the midst of your suffering and you need to shout out to yourself, it isn't finished. I'm going to keep going and God's going to reveal my gifting and my divine destiny in this. So I always say the destination is found within the journey. You know, you're closer than you think. So just keep going.
Absolutely.
Be happy. Be yourself. Try to find attitude of gratitude in everything around you. If people don't like you, let them be who they are. Happiness is a choice. Choose your joy. Life isn't always about pleasing everyone. You must self-love and self-care. Let there be no division among you and keep your circle small. Love that. Great people do things before they are ready. See, I love that. Great people do things before they are ready. I'm always about don't have paralyzation and overanalyzation. Sometimes you got to wing it a little bit. And Lord knows I'm just fearless. I probably start too early, but I know that we're going to make progress and we're going to have productivity. The best days are not behind us or even ahead of us. They are within us. I love that. I declare God is going before me. He's making the crooked places straight. He has already lined up the right people, the right opportunities, and the right solutions to my current problems. No person, no sickness, no disappointment can stop the greatness of my God and his wonderful plan that he has over my life. What he has promised will come to pass. Love that. There is promise and peace in the provision, and there is power in the Word of God, and I have that to stand on every day of my life. A good laugh, a long sleep are the two best cures for anything. I love, love, love that. I always say the difference 30 minutes makes, the difference 3 days makes, the difference 3 weeks makes. And sometimes you just need to call somebody and get a little distracted by a good laugh and a good pick-me-up and encourage one another. Don't you think, Kim?
Yes, ma'am.
So what? Tell me some good ones, some good one-liners you came up with.
Okay. So, sorry, I've been scanning through some of this, so give me just a second to go back to my board.
Start each day with a grateful heart. Love that.
Go ahead.
No. Okay. I was just letting you. I was just saying a few while you were finding. Be the kind of woman that makes a man ask God to make him a better man because he wants to walk across the street with you. Woo! Come on. Love that.
There you go. Okay. Focus on the step in front of you, not the whole staircase.
Love it.
So just take that next step. Take the next step and the next step. Don't look at the entire, eat the one elephant one bite at a time. Don't look at the whole elephant.
Yeah.
Just one step at a time. Mindset, habits, and routines are the building blocks for success towards your goals.
Absolutely. Yes.
All about your mindset. Visualize your highest self. Start showing up as her.
Amen. They always say project yourself and dress and carry yourself like you're about to meet your next boss or your next husband. Ha ha ha. Yeah. Or maybe your first husband. But
There you go. Always go with the choice that scares you the most.
Yes.
Because that is the one that is going to help you grow the most.
Amen.
Absolutely. So those are just a couple of the ones that, kind of struck me as, next step quotes that,
yes,
that you go, oh, yeah, that one's smart. I mean, yeah, that's what I do every once in a while. I go, ooh, that one really smarted.
That one hit. Yeah, this struggle.
That one cut to the quick.
Yeah, this struggle will not follow you into 2020. It ends last year behind you. God is sending major breakthrough your way. Claim it. So, see, I always go back to, you can call it manifesting, you can call it attracting, but, whatever you vividly imagine, ardently desire, enthusiastically act upon, must inevitably come to pass. It's your due diligence. It's power of the positivity, life and death lie in your tongue. You got to set your face as flint. You got to square your shoulders. You got to look up. You got to move that mountain one shovel at a time. But we also know the discipline and the surrender where they meet creates the flow. And so life seems hard for two reasons, because you're leaving your comfort zone or because you're staying in it. And so you've got to get into that realm of unlimited potentiality, which means getting out of your comfort zone. If you want to ruin yourself, get comfortable, because you're either on your toes or your heels. You're either on your toes or your heel. The ball never stops bouncing. The world never stops spinning. So, my brave friend, what God has called you to do, involve yourself with him hand in hand in that calling with great faith. I love this. Love that. Even be so self-sufficient that even if you are in the only person believing and supporting yourself, it's enough. I'm going to say it again.
Yeah.
Be so self-sufficient that even if you are the only one believing and supporting yourself, it will be enough. You alone have the power to make yourself feel weak or vulnerable. The sky isn't the limit for you, and you hold your own perception of the tasks in front of you. So it's like, make up your mind and feed your mind with positive things. Most
this plays right into what I was going to say.
Okay.
We get caught up in, we don't ever want to have a downtime. Downtime can be good too.
Absolutely.
May the flowers remind us why the rain was so necessary.
Absolutely. Good.
We grow from it. We grow from the downtime.
Yes. In the valley,
and they remind us what we're fighting for, and we fight just that little more,
and
to get to what we want.
Contrast, recognize the contrast, and it's like you're catching gears. It's like gears in a clock.
Yes.
They turn one another, so you're catching a next level gear. So when you're suffering a little bit and you're hurting a little bit or you're uncomfortable, you're like, okay, thank you. I embrace being uncomfortable, and I'm gonna have my made up mind. I'm gonna keep feeding. I'm gonna keep watering. I'm gonna keep fertilizing. And you know, it goes back to that old gospel hymn. I ask for a mountain, but in the valley he restoreth my soul. And I want you to think about it. Everything in the valley is more lush. It's better watered. It's better fertilized. It's better protected. It's where the green pasture. It's the fruitfulness is in the valley. Like that in the valley, he restoreth my soul. I ask for a mountain, but in the valley, he restoreth my soul. I was just kind of thinking about, you know, I always kind of challenge myself, like, without getting out the truth of the Word of God and without reading through it, what can you recall? And so, you know, I was going to get my coffee this morning and I was walking to the car and I was like, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Check, please. Check, please. That's it. I mean, even though sometimes I think I can't go on, even though I think I can't make it, yea,
absolutely,
though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's talk about dwelling in the house of the Lord. Our life, this world, our soul, this creation of everything that we are building, that's the house of the Lord. We are co-creating. We're making the world a better place. We're leaving a legacy. And I purposely wanted to surprise you today and encourage you with the legacy of your mama's daddy, because it was so everyday Sunday to us. And the Merrick Ranch and the 14, and you know, and then my people over at Diamond H Stables, they've had a lot of success, and they had a lot of success this past weekend with their American Quarter horses at the Ropin', and one of my favorite little trainers and one of my favorite little ropers that I like to shout out about, Mr. Logan, he had a great weekend. And he got him a winning check by a landslide. And it just goes back to those great American Quarter horses that they're breeding and training over there. And it's our legacy. And I know that I just got my kids out of Baylor and TCU, and it was a journey. And now your kids are stair-steppy. They're just a few months apart, and And they're transitioning out of that college world and into that work world. And, you know, I even had my niece go back to school an extra couple of years and get her master's degree because she qualified for a research scholarship in her field of kinesiology and psychology. And she just really wasn't, you know, ready to take on the work world and the corporate world. And she never even felt like she deserved or could afford a master's degree. And I'll be darned if they didn't ask her if she would be on a research team to get her PhD. So it goes back to that little story, you know, when you have a flat tire and you're broken down on the side of the road, you better get to walking or get your jack out and get your tire fixed. And you better just embrace the inconvenience, embrace the obstacle, embrace the challenge, and or you better go find somebody that's got a light on and ask him to come help you. But you have no choice but to keep going. You know, and that's just what we're talking about, encouraging each other to take the next step when you feel like you're spent. And so start now, start where you are, start with the fear, start with the pain, start with the doubt in the unknowing, and start shaking hands with all of that. And even though your voice may be trembling and you may be overcome with exhaustion and comparison, thinking you're not good enough, the most important next step is to start. Trust in the Lord
Just
with,
keep going.
keep
Just
going,
keep going.
keep on keeping on. Trust in the Lord with,
No matter. Oh, go ahead.
no,
Sorry.
trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean on your not own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. That's in Proverbs. And it's just encouraging you, like, you are not alone. Even when you feel alone, you are not alone. We are the future generation, and we must dream bigger and better. The real glow up, not grow up, glow up. When you stop waiting to turn into the perfect version of yourself and you start enjoying the adversity and the challenges of who you are now and where you are now. So you have to embrace it. Like I always say, fight the devil you know, not the devil you don't know. Obstacles are put in your way to see what you truly want and what is worth fighting for. I like that because it's like, you know, when what's funny is sometimes we share a car out here in LA because the parking's so challenging, and it's an inconvenience to share the car. But what I've learned is it helps me get focused on executing my tasks on the day that I have the car. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
The inconvenience of only having the car for one day, it makes me get up and get focused and get organized and get it done on the day that it's my turn to have the car. Is that not funny? You know? So that's
We all
got,
need a little push
we all need a
and
little
a
push.
little encouragement.
And when I go back and forth to Texas, you know, it's like when I'm in Texas, I'm like, okay, when you get back to LA, you got to get A, B, C, D, E, F, G done. And then when I'm in LA and when I'm all around California, I'm like, okay, when you get back to Texas, you got to do this. I'm going to jump over to favorite things for a minute. As you know, Kim, I ran down to the Torrey Pines area, and right there, just above where your brother has his fabulous vet practice. We'll brag on him a minute. He's down there in San Diego. And I went to the Fairmont Grand Del Mar. Oh my,
Nice.
wowee. And Carl's Choices, you know, we have to have our food picks. So, best tomato bisque soup, because you know I'm like a soup connoisseur. Best tomato soup I've ever had in my life. at the golfing clubhouse at the Grand Del Mar. It's so funny. And then I am a crab cake connoisseur. I make crab cakes all the time. I love crab cakes. In Del Mar, I stopped off at the seaside, a little cafe called Jake's, and had the most ginormous, fabulous crab cakes you've ever experienced with wonderful roumelade. And we're all chefs and cooks, so we love that. But love that area. One of our friends, actually from Lubbock, Texas, he helped develop that Torrey Pines area, and love that beautiful little Solano Beach area. Of course, love Del Mar and Carlsbad. So just had a wonderful, wonderful time. The golf course there at the Grand Del Mar. And it's actually on Forbes' list as one of the most luxurious and sophisticated resorts in the United States. But if you've not been to the Grand Del Mar, the Torrey Pines area, Carmel Valley, it is next level, and I was just such a great time to check that out. So we'll have to revisit that. Other favorite things: Inspire on Purpose. My book publisher, Michelle Morris, she and I have been pulling together my book, and I was hoping to have that out by mid-March, but I worked on it for quite a while, and we're making last cuts and last edits, and I'm pretty excited about it. And I just gotta pull the trigger. I gotta fire it out there and get it done, because you just polish it and refine it so much. And I'm really excited. She's been working with me on that too. But we definitely will have it ready for May. It will definitely be ready for Memorial Day, and then finishing up in the studio on our songs. And we're hiring our videographer and doing our music videos. So favorite things is love, 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 love. And then you and I talked about we love us some Charlie Robinson, and we're always driving down La Brea. And then it helps us reminisce about El Cerrito Place. I'll be looking for you, baby, down on El Cerrito Place. And I love music. And I love the encouragement and the lift me up. And you know, I think about David Frizzell and Shelley West singing You're the Reason God Made Oklahoma.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, Santa Monica Freeway sometimes makes a country girl blue. Hoo, hoo, hoo. You're the Reason God Made Oklahoma, and I'm Still Missing You. And so it's like, I love so many things about California, about Oklahoma, about Texas. And I said this before, I hope I have the opportunity to go and spend time in a lot of different places. I know you recently had gone to Montana. Wasn't it Montana? You went ranch shopping.
Yeah.
And then recently I went to Rancho Mirage, and I got to spend time in Palm Springs, and then just this past weekend I went to the San Diego area. But I mean, I wish for everyone that you get to go and spend an extensive amount of time. And we were talking last night about going to Joshua Tree and spending some time, and I want to go to I've not been to Yellowstone. I finally did get to go to Napa last year. You and I went to Napa. We had a wonderful, I mean, it's just, there's so many, many wonderful places to visit in California and throughout the United States. And we were just talking about, you know, what when we walk along the beach and when we walk, we're always picking up trash. And that's, we're always cleaning up, and we're always picking up trash, and we're always picking up plastic sacks, and we're always picking up things to keep the beach clean. And, you know, and so that's a movement that I want to get involved in, and want to get focused on, you know, because I love books, and Michelle Morris and I at Inspire on Purpose, we're doing a reading movement for young children who don't have cell phones and smartphones in their hands yet. But I also want to do a cleanup movement and, you know, adopt a highway. And we did this at Baylor University. Their fraternities, my boys were in there at TCU and Baylor. They would work with the Baylor University to clean up the Brazos River and, you know, just keep their campus clean and keep their city clean and keep the Brazos River clean. And so I just think that that's, you know, that's one of my favorite movements is, picking up trash and keeping things clean. I want to shout out to our sponsors, and this goes in with my favorite things. So it's like all the people that sponsor me and work hard, making my life wonderful. Eyes on Rodeo. So our friend Rob over at Eyes on Rodeo there in Beverly Hills, he is a wonderful guy. He has a wonderful place, and y'all need to stop in and see him. He did my wonderful little new Gucci reading glasses for me, and so thankful to have connection with him, and stop by and see him at Eyes on Rodeo there in the little shopping center on Beverly Hills. Luxury Consignment. Thank you, Scott Quarles, for always keeping us dressed so nice and stylishly. The Rack Boutique in Canyon. Love that little store. Lots of great finds there. West House Design in Amarillo, Texas. Another little jewel that I find lots of favorite things in. And then one of my little entrepreneur ladies has Sip to Life, Bamboo sustainable straws, and one of my favorite missions is there at the Harvest Fellowship Church, Mark and Jada Calloway. If you're looking for a great book of hope and encouragement in taking your next step, check out on Amazon Hope Beyond Brokenness, one of my favorite things, one of my favorite little books. Again, Mark and Jada Calloway are the authors of this wonderful little light read, Hope Beyond Brokenness, available on Amazon. Kim, I know you're still working on Positively Plaster, and I'm always amazed at how gifted you are on social media. Anything you want to shout out about on Positively Plaster Facebook front as we close
we're
out?
We're still growing.
Still growing, 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 we're going, growing, going, going. Yes?
Still growing it. Join it. It's Positively Plaster on Facebook. Just look us up. It's a gateway group is what it's called. So check us out, join our group, see what we're doing. Just trying to stay positive. You know, it's kind of crazy with this whole coronavirus out there. Everyone's being really negative on social media. So we're just trying to stay positive and put positivity out there and be a place where people can come to be uplifted and
encourage one another.
Yep.
Encourage one another. So did y'all cook any? I know, you know, we're always cooking and we're always, did y'all cook anything great this weekend? What'd y'all do?
Well, I'll be honest, been kind of under the weather, and my favorite thing that my husband cooks for me when I am, you know, down on my luck and not feeling so good, is his chicken tortilla soup.
Oh yeah, I've had it.
And it's a really easy dish that we make, and we just grab a Costco rotisserie chicken, and just because it's easy,
yep.
And I can pull all the meat off of it and pour the fat off into it. He roasts corn on the cob on the grill. And so all those sugars come to the surface, cuts it off the cob, sautés it in there with the some Hatch green chilies and a can of Rotel tomatoes in there, that corn, sautés that up. He makes his own chicken broth and we throw all that chicken in there. Oh my gracious! It will heal your soul.
It will. I will. So, and I've had it, and you're not making me want to go cook it. You're making me want to drive to NorCal and just have him cook it for us. So we had a hysterical laugh earlier today, because he talk about natural talent, talk about operating in your natural talent. You know, we were experimenting, and we put him in charge of cooking our sea bass. And we look up, and he's on the ladder cleaning the light fixture and changing the light bulb. And you and I don't even have to say it. We're like, have you lost your mind? Get down off the ladder and tend to our sea bass. Cause we were like, our mouths were watering. We were like, cook our sea bass. We'll tend to changing the lights later. So he's a wonderful cook. And
to be honest, we were pretty panicked over our $50 worth of sea bass.
Yeah, we had our $50 worth of sea bass on the griddle, and
we were pretty nervous.
And our chef was diverted over here changing. It was funny, but we have such, you know, I always say, if you want to gather and encourage, cook a meal. So we've got so many things to be thankful for. We have our friends, and we always want to encourage each other. We always want to lift each other up. But most importantly, we want to encourage people out there that feel like they are broken and they are looking for some hope. And what we say is, keep going, keep your faith in God, because he is the foundation of your comfort and your inspiration. Kim, thank you for being with me, and y'all have a very blessed week, and I hope to see you again soon on Catch a Wave.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Catch a Wave with the Surfing Cowgirl, only on LA Talk Radio.